Okay. So this year is Gadol Avera Lishma. That it's a few Gemaras, but the primary Gemara we're going to start with is Nazir Chav Gimel Beis, and it's trying to deal with the question that we left off last week, which was whether you're allowed to violate Halacha because of Chil Hashem. Okay, so this was one of the Gemaras that was brought up, I think, by Ariel, in order to show that you could, or as a possible question. Okay, so the Gemara is it's in two places. The one we're going to take up is Nazir Chav Gimel Beis. So it's about 15 lines down. Okay. So it says, Amr of Nachem bar Yitzchak, Gedol Aveira Lishma, Mi Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. So an Aveira Lishma is greater than a Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Okay. So the Gemara asks, V'amr of Yehuda Marav, L'olam Yasi Oda Mitzvah, Torah Mitzvah, Afila Shelo Lishman, Shmita Shelo Lishman, Balishman. But how could you say an Avera Lishma? So it's not clear what an Avera Lishma is, right? What is it? What exactly does it mean to do an Avera Lishma? If it's an Avera, by definition, it's... How could it be Lishma? Lishma, we're going to learn like L'shem Shemayim, okay? Right. Not like the Mefarish on the side here learns it like L'shem Mitzvah. We're not going to learn that way. It just means L'shem Shemayim.
Well, then.
What would it mean, L'shem Shemayim? Or
L'shem Mitzvah.
To do another Mitzvah later on, I guess he learns. But the parish on Nazir is somebody good, but it's allegedly it's not Rashi, it's a Mefarish.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. But it's good, though. You know, it's solid. I'm just not learning like him. Okay? But, so that's Gemara. The Gemara introduces the statement of Avera Lishma, which is the Gemara is going to give an example. The paradigm case is going to be Yael and Sisera. So we're going to get to that in a second. But right now, we're just going to take it. There's an idea of an Aveira Lishma. And the Gemara is saying that it's great, and it's greater than a mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Okay? A mitzvah that you do, not for the right reasons. And then the Gemara asks the question, how could you say it's greater than a mitzvah Shelo Lishma? Right? A mitzvah, a person, Rav Yehuda Marav says, La'olam yasgad of Torah mitzvahs, afil Shelo Lishman, shmito Shelo Lishman, balishman. That a person should always be involved in Torah mitzvahs, even Shelo Lishma. Because if you do them shaloshma, it's balishma. So how can you say an aver lishma is greater than a mitzvah shaloshma? Okay.
Why would that tell you that it's greater?
Right, it's a good question. What is the Gemara? What kind of question is that?
Yeah.
Right, it's not even a question. It's not clear how it follows that that's even a question.
Right.
Right. And the Gemara's answer is even more strange. The Gemara says, Ela ima ki mitzvah shaloshma. It's equal to a mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Okay? They're shavos, they're equal. Okay. Which is also strange. Right? I mean, that's how the Mefarish learns. It's shtem shavos. They're equal. Okay, we'll go with him for that. So, I mean, the problem is threefold. Every step of the Gemara is difficult. Okay? What does it mean, Aver Shelo Lishma? What does that even mean? How is that possible? Right? That's the first thing. First statement, Gedol Aver Shelo Lishma. Right? Mean mitzvah Shelo Lishma. So it's great. So first, what exactly does an Aveira Shelo Lishma even mean? Okay. Two, is the next step of the Gemara. It says, how could you say it's greater than a mitzvah, that an Aveira Lishma is greater than a mitzvah Shelo Lishma? A mitzvah you do for the wrong reasons. Let's say a person learns Torah in order to get kavod and respect. Right? So how can you say that it's an Aveira Lishma is greater than a mitzvah Shelo Lishma? It's a strange comparison to begin with. But how could it be? I mean, a person should always be involved in a mitzvah shel lolishma because lolishma balishma. What kind of question is that? Yeah, but if you're lishma, you already have lishma. Maybe it's better. Maybe lishma is always the best. Whether it's a mitzvah, whether it's an aver lishma is the best. And mitzvah shel lolishma could bring you to lishma, but by an aver lishma, whatever that means, it's already better because it's lishma. What's the Gemara's question? What kind of question is that asking? That since a mitzvah shel lishma brings you to do a mitzvah lishma, right? Torah and mitzvah shel lishma cause you to Torah mitzvah lishma. Therefore, how can you say a aver shel lishma is greater? I don't know what kind of questions that make any sense. And then the Gemara answers, no, all right, fine, it can't be greater, but it's equal. What does that mean? It's equal. They have nothing to do with each other. It's apples and oranges. And a aver lishma, mitzvah shel lishma, they're equal in what sense? And how does that solve the problem? Right? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Right? Okay, fine. So now, where do you learn it out from? Once you've clarified the statement, is Gadol Aveira Shelo Lishma, Kimitzvah Lishma, right? The question is, where do you learn it out from? The Gemara says, you learn it out, Dechsif. So this is, the story is by Yael. So this is during the time of Shoftim, right? Devorah and Barak, where Dvar was judging Klal Yisrael that time, it's early on in Shoftim. And Yavin was the king of, I think it was Aram.
Wasn't
Khan? I think he was Melech Aram, but I'm not sure. But he was a bad king, who was a foreign king, and he was subduing Klal Yisrael. And he had control, foreign power control of Eretz Yisrael. And he had a general, Sisera, right? This is the Sisera of the 100 Shofros, the mother of Sisera, right, from Rosh Hashanah. And they had a war against Klal Yisrael. It was a war. And Klal Yisrael seemed to have the upper hand. And Sisera, the general, started running away. And when he ran away, Yael, who was the wife of Chevra Keni, apparently they had converted, or it seems like they were Jewish. So she tried to save Klal Yisrael by not letting Sisera run away. So she invited him into her tent. And she slept with him multiple times in order to tire him out. And then when he fell asleep, she went up to him and took the pentag and put it through his temple into the ground and killed him. Okay? And Devorah, when she sings Shira after the whole victory and the death of Sisera, so Devorah mentions, praises Yael in her song. And it says, Tevorach minashim Yael, eshes chevra keni, minashim ba'oel tevorach. So blessed is the of woman is Yael, right, the wife of Chevra Keni. From the women of the tent, she is blessed. Okay? So, what does it mean from the women of the tent? Right? So, Ma Nashim Sheba Ohel, Sarif Gerachav Aleya. Okay? So, the women of the tent are called Sarif Gerachav Aleya, the Imahos. And Tosas explains why they're called women of the tent, because it says by all them tent. Okay, you see, by Sarah Hinei Ba'Oel, and Vayitze Me'ol Leah, Vayavol Rachel, and Vayavol Rivka Ahola, Yitzchak Ahola Sarima. So it says Ohel by all them. So it's saying comparing Yael, what she did, which is an Avera Shelo Lishma, an Avera Lishma, right? She slept with him, right? And let's read the next one. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva Bilos Balos Erasha Balsasha, in quotes of Pasek. So she slept with him seven times, multiple times, right? And that's an Avera, right? He's a guy, you're not allowed to sleep with him. But that was an Avera Lishma, right? It was for a good purpose. It saved Klal Yisrael. And that is greater, or equal to, at least, what the Imahos did, Sarifka Rachel Leah.
What did they do?
What did they do?
Yeah.
Okay, so they slept with the Avos, and they created Klal Yisrael.
Right. So mitzvah lishma.
That was a mitzvah shelo lishma.
Shelo lishma.
That right?
Really?
Correct. That's what's strange about the sugya. Okay, but the only makes sense if you compare what the Imahos did in terms of the concept of the Gemara here. It's trying to prove that a ver lishma is equal to a mitzvah shelo lishma. And it's saying is Tevorach Minashim Shabbal, she's blessed like or with, from, equal to the women of the tent. And the women of the tent are the Imahos. So the Imahos, they did a mitzvah Shalom Lishma. And Yael does a mitzvah Lishma. Yael does an Aver Lishma. And the Imahos did a mitzvah Shalom Lishma.
Do we know from anywhere else that it was Lishma?
Or no.
It's only because it makes sense here.
We from this Gemara, you know it's Lolo Shema. Oh, it's the problem. Why would you consider what they did Lolo Shema? Presumably they wanted to build Klal Yisrael because of the Nevuah to build Klal Yisrael. They were Kiddush Hashem. They're trying to create a nation for the Torah. Why would you say that they're doing it Lolo Shema, right? Okay, so the Gemara, the next question shows you why. Okay. So the Gemara asks, do a Tosus in Yavamos. There's a parallel sig in Yavamos, half the sig is parallel, which kind of explains this Gemara. Let's first read the Gemara. Gemara says, V'hakam is hanya mebi'ila delay. We're first going to read the Gemara here, and then we'll go to the Tosus in Yavamos, okay? The Gemara says, but Yael was Nena from the Bia. She slept with Sisra, but she enjoyed it. It was Hana, right? So how could you say that that's an Aveira Lishma? She has Hana, right? Implying that you can't have an Aveira Lishma. It can't be Lishma if there's Hana, if you enjoy it. Which is also strange. Right? Why don't you say she's doing it? L'shem Shemayim? Aye, she has Hana. Okay. But L'shem Shemayim? Okay. And then Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Tevas and Shereshayim in El Arai Tzal Tzadikim. So all the good that Rishayim try to do for Tzadikim, his sister is trying to give her Hana, it's Ra Eitzel Tzadikim. It's really felt as evil. Okay? She does not enjoy having the Bia with that Rasha, with Sisra. It was not a Hana for her. She got no Hana from it. Shenemar, he shamer lecha midaberim Yaakov, mitovad Ra, by Lavan. Right? God warned Lavan, don't speak to Yaakov, either good or bad. So Bishlam Rasha, I understand why God told Lavan not to speak to Yaakov in a bad way, in a harmful way. Ela tov, am I low? Why is God telling Lavan, don't speak to him in a good way even? Ela, lav, shmamina, tovas and ra, hi shmamina. So you see from here that the tova that the Rishayim do for tzaddikim, when they're trying to be good to tzaddikim, the tzaddik perceives it as really a bad thing. Okay? So I'm going to get into the Lavan thing too much. But basically the point is Ya'el is the paradigm case of Aveira Lishma. Okay? The limud is comparing her to the Imahos. Right. And the Gemara asked the question, how could you say it's an Aveira Lishma? She has Hana, which is strange. Where's the Gemara coming from? Right? What's exactly the Gemara asking? It says, no, she doesn't really have Hana. Okay. So Tosus and Yavamos, on Kuf Gimel Amanaf, on the bottom, he explains the Shakti Vatari in this Gemara a little bit. Okay. So it's, but Tosus says, V'hakam is Hanya Me'aveira. That's the Girsan in Yavamos. Welcome is Hanya Me'aveira. She's Nena from the Aveira. Okay, it's the bottom line of the Gemara, and it's the bottom Tosos. So he's like this. Okay, now. Okay. So before we do this Tosos, so the point is I'd like to understand this Gemara. The questions we're asking, what is Aveira Lishma? Why is it equal to a Mitzvah Shelo Lishma? What does it mean, the Mahos? We're doing Mitzvah Shelo Lishma when they're trying to create Klal Yisrael. What does that mean, right? Okay. But the point I got into this, it was from the question of last week, was are you allowed, does this idea of an Aveira Lishma show you that you're allowed to do an Aveira if it's L'Shem Shemayim? If it's going to produce a Kiddush Hashem or Devoid Echil Hashem, are you allowed to do it? Okay. So this Tosa, I think, shows you that that's not the case. That an Aveira doesn't mean that's halachically an Aveira. Okay? She was allowed to do this. You'll see this Tosos. What does Tosos say? Halachically, she was allowed to do it. Okay? So it's not an Aveira in that sense. Okay? It'll force us to define what Aveira means. Aveira doesn't mean science halachically asa. Because you can see from this Tosos, it wasn't asa for her. Right? It's Tosos like this. Lekele Meimar. So what's the Gemara's question? What's the Gemara's question that Yael was Nena from the Bia? What kind of question is that? It says, Lekele Meimar de Parach, Amai lo Masra Atzma. Shere Karka Olami, Kedamar Gav Aster. So you can't say, the question is, why didn't she give up her life? Right? It's Yarugva Yavor. It's Arayos. She has to give up her life. That's not the Gemara's question. Okay? Because if that's the case, the Gemara with this whole sukkah about Esther, Esther Karka Olam, Sanhedrin Ayin Dalam Beis, and we say that a woman is passive in Arayos. And so if she's being, let's say, forced, so she doesn't have to give up her life.
She isn't a Maisa?
Right, it's not considered a passive, it's not considered a Maisa.
So as a woman ever made Chayav Misa?
Oh, well, that's if she's doing Bertzona. But if she's Nena, so she's raped, so then you say Karka Olam.
Okay. Right?
So that's, you can't ask that question. She would never, you never ask, well, why is Yael have to, Yael should have given up her life? No, she wouldn't have to give up her life. She's passive, she could be passive, right? And that wouldn't be a problem. Okay, so you see, you say that there wouldn't be a halachic issue here if she was being raped. V'od, Kihu lo haya ma'ansa. He wasn't even raping her. Sister wasn't raping Yael. Va'adarabba. He shad losa bedvarim la'achriyo la'viya leha kedei la'adish kocha la'ansa Yisrael. She's the one who tried to seduce him. She's the one who could try to tell him, come in, it's nice in here, and you're going to be protected, and don't worry, I'm not going to give you over. And she encouraged him to come in there in order for him to bring her into the tent so that she could sleep with him in order to take away his strength, so she could kill him and save Klal Yisrael. Right? So it wasn't even a case of rape. Right? He's trying to reject a certain shita about Yarg Vayavar. Yeah.
Can I ask him a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was he actually a threat at that point? Wasn't his army, like, destroyed?
The army was, they retreated, but he was still, it seems like, that's the way the Rishonim, Tosfos and the Zemiri also, learns that had he escaped, there would have been still a danger of ultimately them regrouping. They hadn't killed the king, they hadn't destroyed all their army, doesn't mean they didn't have any other army anywhere else. If the general had retreated, there's nothing to say that the victory would have been complete. So when your country is being dominated by a foreign power and you have an opportunity to kill the top guy, so you have to take that opportunity.
Right.
Okay. And it's Lahatzlis Yisrael and the Miri also. There's Miri in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet also, which also makes this point that she's allowed to do it because it's Hatzlis Yisrael. It's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, you're saving Klal Yisrael. It's the ultimate Pikuach Nefesh. That the entire nation is being subjugated by a foreign power and Klal Yisrael's lives are at stake. You're fighting a war. People are dying because of this war. Right, so if you're allowed to do things in order to promote the war effort, in order to save lives, so you don't say that you're worried about Naveros in this situation. It's pikuach nefesh, right? And it wasn't a situation of and if you're going to say it's mother, she had to give up her life. No, that's Esther Kaka Olam. Okay, Miri also, if you look at in Sanhedrin. So the point is that this was a case where halachically you had heterim. Okay, you had a term halachically to do it. Okay, but still called an Avera for a different reason, which we're given our Svara. But it brings up the question, if you can have a term with Pikuach Nefesh or Karka Olam, whatever it is, so then why is it calling an Avera? Right? Why is it calling an Avera? Okay. Like I said, the Miri in Sanhedrin is even clearer, but I think the Tosfos L'Hatzlis Yisrael is referring to the same idea as the Miri. Okay, so that's not the Gemara's question. What's the Gemara's question? V'ha kamasani me'avera. He says, Ela parach, amai mishamcha kasav kolkach. Why is the pasuk praising Yael so much? Tichsiv tevorach menashem. Right? And she's blessed just like the imahos. Right? V'aminam b'nazir b'horios. Gedol avera lishma. Mitzah shalol lishma. It's a avera lishma. Yael is equal to, greater than, equal to, mitzvah shalol lishma. Perish mei mahos, it's greater than the or equal to a mitzvah shalol lishma. What's the case of the mitzvah shalol lishma? The nashim ba'ohel, which is the imahos sarif gerachon leah, why lefisha hayunanis min abia, because the imahos they enjoyed the bia with the avos with Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. They enjoyed it, and that's why it's shalol lishma. V'yael lo hayisinanis min abia, and Yael didn't enjoy the bia, so she did an avera lishma because she had no hana. Right, that's the whole premise of the Gemara. That's Tosfos explaining. The premise of the Gemara is why is Yael Lishma? Because she didn't enjoy the Bia. Her motivation was exclusively Lishem Shemayim. But the Imahos, they also enjoyed the Bia. So they were Lo Lishma.
Isn't that a good thing? Shouldn't you enjoy doing Mitzvah?
Of course.
Okay. So that's
still Lo Lishma.
Okay.
That's the, you see from this Gemara. It's an amazing Gemara, amazing Tosfos, right?
Right.
That there's nothing wrong with them enjoying Bia. A person should enjoy Bia. But if you're doing something for the Shlashem Shemayim, to build Klal Yisrael, but it's enjoyable, and you have Hana, that's Lo Lishma.
Right, so where's the Lo Lishma?
What?
Where is the Lo Lishma?
You're partially being motivated by pleasure. Uh-huh. We're going to get into that. Okay. It's bewildering. Why would you say that the imahos are lo lishma? Because they're nana from the bia, which is a normal thing, a good thing, a healthy thing. Should they not be nana? That's not normal. Nobody's criticizing them. You're not criticizing the imahos. But the point is, Gemara is saying that's lo lishma. And that's another question. Is why is that lo lishma? Where do you get off attributing this, you know, as the Gemara is Tosfos and the Gemara assuming that the imahos did exclusively for pleasure? the whole reason that they're sleeping with their husbands is because of the hana of biyah, not because they're motivated l'shem shemayim to build Kla Yisrael. It's not borne out by the psukim. The psukim, they forget about the way we Torah Shapel looks at the imahos. It's open psukim. You see by Rachel and Leah what they're doing, the names of the children, and Sarah when she wants to give over her maidservant because of she wants to have children. And if she's just motivated by the hana of biyah, why does she have to give over Hagar? That's not necessary. There's hana of biyah without having Hagar have produced kids. So I mean, it's ridiculous. So it seems impossible to learn the Tosfos that way. That the Gemara and the Tosfos are attributing to the Imahos, saying that exclusively their purpose was hana from biyah. That's impossible, I think. But rather, what Tosfos is saying, and I'll bring a raya from this from a Rambam in a second, is that so long as there's another motivation in why you're doing something, if you get pleasure, then it's lo lishma. Okay? It's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah shlo lishma. Okay? But Ya'el was an avera lishma, because she didn't have hana. And the Gemara asks the question, why not? Why didn't she have hana? Where do you see she didn't have hana? And the Gemara answers, Mishani devade los anenis, mishun tevasna sharashayim. Okay, and that's exactly what the Gemara answers. No, she didn't have enough. Don't say she had enough from Sisera. Rather, she had no pleasure. It was no pleasure for her because it was a rasha. You can't compare the bia with Avnisuk and Yaakov to the bia with Sisera. The Yael's bia with Sisera was no enough for her. She had no pleasure from that. She did it exclusively Shem Shemayim. But the Imahos, when they slept with Avnisuk and Yaakov, said that is a hana for them, of course. Okay, and that's why the Imahos are engaged in mitzvah Shalot Lishma.
Why can't you say it's a mix of lishma and lishma?
Okay, but then what's your?
Both.
But I mean, the Gemara is not calling it.
Right. That's the question. Why is it calling it lishma?
So then you should be able to show that an avera lishma is greater than even a mitzvah lishma. Or is equal to. Gemara is not saying it's equal to mitzvah lishma. Mitzvah lishma is greater than an aver lishma.
Right.
Or you say maybe it's just equal to a mitzvah lishma and a mitzvah shlo lishma. The both?
No, I was just wondering why it's calling it lo lishma.
Mitzvah shlo lishma.
It's really a mix of both.
Right. A mix of both is considered shlo lishma. So let me show you. I mean, we'll start with that problem. Okay, and work our way backwards.
Okay.
So this is really, it's an amazing idea. Okay. An idea of lishma and shlo lishma. And it's the last Mishnah in Makos. Okay, the Rambam's parish in the last Mishnah in Makos. Okay? Rav Chanani ben Ikasha, Meretz Kash Baruch Zagat Zofi Kedah Benam Tarmitzah, Shnei Mashem Choyitz, Matzah Gaya Duh Dedeh. Good?
Yes.
Kaddish, okay. So the Rambam's like this. Very famous Mishnah. So Kash Baruch Hu wanted to be Mezakeh Klal Yisrael, so he gave them a lot of mitzvos. Okay? But first of all, Eliezer, you get the, you hear the problems? Any questions before we go further in the Rambam?
No questions.
Okay. So the Rambam's like this. Okay, so the Mishnah is saying that Akash Baruch Hu wanted to be Mezakeh Klal Yisrael, so he gave them many mitzvos. Okay? 613 mitzvos. So the Rambam's like this. Miyasodos ha'amunah b'torah she'im kiyam ha'adam mitzvah misholosh esrei v'sheish meos mitzvos karoi u'kahogen. So it's one of the fundamental principles of the Torah. If a person fulfills one of the 613 mitzvahs appropriately, like it should be, veloshatav ima matara mimataras ha'olam hazeklal, he hasn't joined together with that, doing that mitzvah, a purpose, that's any purpose in this world at all, no other motivation in doing the mitzvah, no other purpose or motivation doing the mitzvah from this world, ella asa lishma me'ahava kimoshe bi'arati lach. Okay, he does it, the Rambam and the Hakdama Techelek, right? Okay, so he does a pure lishma from Avas Hashem, like he explained to you. Okay, he doesn't join together any other motivation from this world. No kavod, no hana, no mammon, nothing, right? Harehu zocheba l'chayel maba. So through it, through that mitzvah, he zoche to chayel maba. Lachin Amr of Chananya, ki machmas riboy mitzvos, iesha shaloyas adam achas bechol yemechaya bishlemos, v'yiskel asharas nefesh bosomaisa. Therefore, Chananya ben Akasha is saying, because there's so many mitzvos, 613, it's impossible for a Jew not to do one of them perfectly, and through that he'll be zocha to chayal maba, that his soul will continue to exist through that action that he does in mitzvah lishma. Okay, without joining together any other motivation. Mimashim mora al yesod hazeh sheilas of Chananya ben Trat. So he quotes a gemara. Mani lechayal maba. Or Chananya asks, it's a gemara of Odezari chesman alf. He says, what about me? Am I demagin bizocha to chayal maba? Okay, he asked, I don't know, his tamidim or somebody. Okay. Reb Yossi ben Kisma, he asked. Okay. Ve'aneyu ha'ona. So the answer of Reb Yossi ben Kisma answered him. Klumba liyadcha maisa. Did you ever do any good action, any action in your life? Kolomar, hain this dam l'chasiyas mitzvah karoi. Did you ever do a mitzvah appropriately in the right way? Analo, he answered. So Chananya ben Trajan answered. She is dam l'lo mitzvah staka betachlas hashlemus evsharis. V'zacha b'alchayim abba. Okay, he says in one time he did mitzvah of tzedaka in the ultimate perfect way, and through that he was zochah to chayal maba. Okay, so you see from this Rambam the same yisod, yisod mi munas haTorah, is a fascinating idea that the only way to have chayal maba is if you at some point do a mitzvah lishma. Okay, a mitzvah only because of no other purpose but l'shem shemayim, because of avas Hashem. That's the only way to chayal maba. But, now what does it mean, lishma? It means where you have no other motivation whatsoever in doing it. Okay? Is it pashut that a person does that? Most of the actions, the mitzvahs you do in your life, you're going to have some other motivation for it, because you derive a benefit. Right? Simchas yantif, so you're eating and drinking, you're going to enjoy the food. That can't be lishma. Okay? Can't be lishma. Or if you you do a chesed for a person, the person thanks you, or people look at you like you're a good person and you want to feel like you're a good person, okay, that's not lishma, okay, because there's some other motivation in this world, some other motivation. You're learning Torah because people respect you, because people call you a rebbe, because the people are paying you to learn, because you're developing your mind, you want to be a smarter person, all the different reasons. That can't be lishma. Because there's some other motivation that's motivating you. Okay, but don't worry. Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakas Es Yisrael. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to Klal Yisrael to have a Chayal Maba and Kol Yisrael Yishim Chayal Maba. So the 613 mitzvahs, there's going to be an opportunity during your life, for sure, multiple ones, where you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah and there is no benefit that you, in this world that you will receive from that mitzvah. Zero hana, zero benefit, there's no reason. And if you do that mitzvah, because God commanded you to do it, simply for that reason, no other reason, and you will be presented with that mitzvah. The 613 opportunity will present itself, and that's that mitzvah you do, that's considered the Shema, and that's where your Chayal Maba is based upon. Okay. So any questions? Does that make sense? The idea sensible? Okay, so why does it sound crazy? Because what's the difference? If I would do the mitzvah entirely for the purpose of L'shem Shemayim, right? The Imahos, so they're doing it, I shouldn't say, if there was no Hana of Bia, they would still do it. What's really motivating them? Not the Hana of Bia. Yes, they enjoy the Bia, but that doesn't make it that that's their primary motivation. And even if you took out the Hana, they would still do it. So why don't I say that L'shma should be defined, in my mind, what I would have defined L'shma without this Tosos, the Gemara, and the Rambam. As a lishma means that you're doing something that even if there was no other reason for you to do it, you would still do it l'shem shemayim. That's lishma. Because you happen to get a na, and yes, there's nothing, so that makes it, and it can't be lishma anymore? To the point where the Gemara says, the imaho, since they're nana from the bia, can't be lishma? Where Chananya ben Trajan is worried about his chayak al mahaba because, right? It's also strange why you don't get chayak al mahaba for, I guess. What?
13
Yikarim. Yeah, according to Rambam, that's a separate problem. It's a whole other shir. Yeah. Really, just to take this to the Olam Haba idea, you have to go further. I'm not prepared to really answer that problem. Why the Yigim of Karma aren't enough? Why you need a mitzvah? So there's, different approaches you can give. But, and just to deal with what's Lishma here, why is this the definition of Lishma? It's pretty. Certainly the way Tosus is reading the Gemara, I'm not sure there's not another way to try to read the Gemara, but Tosus and the Rambam learns the Mishnah in Makos. And so what's the sense in saying that you need whatchamacallit, that you need no other motivation whatsoever. Right, what kind of idea is that? Okay, so it's a difficult problem. So, you know, I'll try to describe what I think is a possible solution so we can move forward, but it's not a simple Rambam, okay? Not a simple Rambam. So I worked this out with Rabbi Feder a few years ago, this Rambam, you know, but this Tosis is new, but it's the same idea. But I think he wanted to say something along the lines of that the idea of Lishma is that when a person does something simply for the sake of Avas Hashem, purely Hashem Shemayim, so then he takes his perfection and his attachment to God and he expresses it in an action, okay, which is an element that's necessary for Chayim Mabal, right? Not just Yogim Likarim, but you need to express that in an action. It has to be, you have to live that attachment to God, attachment to the true ideas, has to be actualized in the person's life at some point. It can't just remain a potential, a hypothetical. But yet, similar to the idea we had from last week of Nisayon, there's a value in bringing that potential to its realization through an action. And that's done when a person does something, L'shem Shemayim, okay? And he does something just for that purpose. Now, if you're dealing in a world of theoretics, you can say, theoretically, hypothetically, if the lo lishma motivation wasn't there, if the hanaf from the bia wasn't there, would the person have done it? And in that framework, it's true. Then you could say, then this mitzvah is lishma. Because, you're right, had I stripped away the lo lishma motivation, the lishma motivation is still powerful enough. And you could say the guy's in theory doing it lishma. But then it's missing the point of what this Rambam and what this idea of lishma is. It's not hypothetical. Because if it was hypothetical, then why do you even need a maisa? Why don't you just say, hypothetically, if they were presented with a situation of doing something lishma, would they do it? And that's it. And if they would do it, then they're a lishma person. But the whole idea of the maisa and the mitzvah is because the Torah demands for Chayim Mabat to realize, actualize a person's soul, your human being, and to actualize a soul and its attachment to God. It's not sufficient to live in a hypothetical world of what would you do something lishma if it presented itself. But like the idea of Nisayon, like we said for the Ramban, is that your soul has to be actualized through living the Avas Hashem, through living it in action, experiencing, actualizing it in an actual experience in your life. And in that sense, once there's lo lishma also, your psyche, your soul, attaches itself to lo lishma. You cannot, once there's pleasure involved, you can't strip it away. You can't pretend it's not there. If once there's physical pleasure, your soul grasps onto the physical pleasure too. And now this action is not a full attachment to God, but it's also attachment to Olam Hazeh, to this world. Because it's there, and you like pleasure, and you're motivated by pleasure too, and there's nothing wrong with that. A person's a human being, and there's no reason to work on that. There's nothing wrong with the Mahos having Hana from Bia. They didn't have to work on that. That's not an imperfection, and it's not something to be worked on. Okay? It's true, because of the Hana, when they engage in Bia for the sake of building Klal Yisrael, since there's pleasure, that's also motivating them slightly, and therefore their psyches is attached to Olam Hazeh because of the pleasure of Olam Hazeh, and that prevents that being the action which ultimately realizes their whole perfection. But you don't have to worry about that, because Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakeh Yisrael, if you go here b'lam Torah Mitzvos, don't worry about it. There's so many mitzvos, and there's many opportunities in your life. You will be presented with opportunities to actualize your perfection through doing mitzvah exclusively lishma. The Torah doesn't view it as something you have to work on to try to find, to remove all your low lishma motivations. Your low lishma motivations are perfectly fine. They're perfectly normal. And if you have hana from this world, if you enjoy eating food on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, that's fine. It's going to be low lishma. Okay, it'll be low lishma. It won't be the maisa which gives you chayek olam haba. You should still do it, of course. La'olam yasib odam tormenta shalolishma. Okay? But that one ma'isa, you will find it some other way. That's the here with Torah mitzvahs. That's why you have so many mitzvahs. But if to understand the idea of this one, this idea of this ma'isa, which actualizes the latent perfection of the human soul, of Avas Hashem, of doing something exclusively for the idea of Shem Hashem, you can't say, well, once there's a Lo Lishma motivation, you can't pretend it's not there. And the psyche and the soul attach themselves to that reality of the pleasure in this world, and that it pollutes, it taints the whole motivation, it becomes intermixed, and now ultimately that is a Lo Lishma ma'isa. And that ma'isa cannot no longer be the ma'isa of the highest level of a ma'isa, mitzvah Shel Lishma. It becomes a mitzvah Shel Lishma. Okay, and there's no way out of it. Because we're not dealing, this whole framework of requiring an action is not dealing in the hypothetical, theoretical framework of, is the person perfected? If this was not there, he would have been. No, that's the whole point. You need to actualize in reality. And the Lo Lishma being present in reality takes away from the motivation being a motivational Shem Shemayim. It's also motivation for Hana, and that prevents this being the Maisa to actualize the person's perfection of Amas Hashem Legamri. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you describe again why it needs to be an action?
Because you can't compare the perfection of potential perfection to actualized perfection. Perfection has to be actualized. The soul needs to be realized in concrete actions and concrete steps as a human being in this world, which is the whole idea we discussed last week about Nisayon, why God tests Avraham. Doesn't God know that Avram is willing to sacrifice his son? Why does he have to test him? Because like the Ramban, lahotzi min hakoach el hapoel. You bring the perfection from potential perfection to actualized perfection. It's the actualization of perfection that completes the soul of the human being and allows it to continue to exist, the hasharas hanefesh, according to the Rambam's framework. According to the Ramban, it might be a little different, but I'll get into Om Abba at this point. But the theory of the Torah is that potential perfection is not the real perfection that gives reality to your existence. The reality of your existence is when you realize your perfection in your life. Now you can, so to speak, take all your perfection and your commitment to God, and it can be realized in one action, so to speak. You do that mitzvah of tzedakah, lishma, one time. That can actualize the full scope of Avas Hashem in the person in one action. It doesn't have to be a million different things. It could be that one opportunity to fully realize that you're doing something because God commanded it to you and you want to serve God, and that's it. There's no other reason, and that's the only reason you're doing something. And that could be the actualization of a whole lifetime of built up per potential perfection. But it still has to be actualized. It can't just remain as a theoretical, hypothetical perfection in the person. Not sufficient. The Yogimli Karma on their own, it would seem, are not sufficient. But don't worry. It'll happen. Person who has the potential, the world is made in a way, and God gave the Torah in a way that it will happen automatically. You don't have to worry. There's no idea of trying to get that one action. You don't have to try. You don't have to try to perfect yourself to be able to eat, you know, a kezias of basar on yontiv, where you don't enjoy it so that it's lishma. You don't have to do that. You're allowed to enjoy your life, and you should enjoy doing mitzvahs and learning Torah. But but it is a Lo Lishma. It is a Lo Lishma because there's other motivations there. No, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it is. It is a Lo Lishma action.
Isn't it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Isn't part of perfection enjoying perfection?
Isn't part of perfection enjoying perfection?
Don't we know?
I don't, where do you get that from? Rebbe said that? That's tough. You mean it's impossible now?
What do you mean impossible?
He's saying, so a guy who does the mitzvah lishma is going to enjoy doing that mitzvah lishma, and therefore he's not going to be really lishma? Is that what you're asking? It's like a logical loop?
Based on your lishma, yeah.
I guess that could be a problem.
Like,
no, I don't think so. I mean, does the person have to reflect on like an egotistical sense and say, look how perfected I am, and therefore... No, I think if you do that, that's Lo Lishma.
No. Reflection isn't anything, because then if you reflect, then you reflect on reflection. Once you reflect on reflection, but bad. And I'm saying, like, Moshe Rabbeinu, did he not enjoy Avodas Hashem?
Of course he enjoyed it. It's the greatest thing is Avodas Hashem.
But
But that's, I don't think that's a hana. It's the hana of Olam Hazeh is the problem. That's what I mean. If it's a psychological, egotistical hana, or it's a physical hana from Tashmish Shamita, then you have a problem. But if it's the hana of Osa Emes Neshu Emes, just the hana of existing, serving God and existing in reality, then I don't think that that's a that would detract from it. That's a hana of Kirv L'makom. That's not a problem. It depends. What? It depends. If the hana of Talmud Torah is because God told you to learn Torah, and there's a mitzvah and you're serving God, and this is God's Torah and you want to serve Him by learning Torah, then that's fine. That's lishma. You know, but if you do it because, like, it's intellectual pleasure, which it is, but, like, so to speak, studying, you know, playing chess also gives you pleasure, and just Torah is a more sophisticated form of that, then that's not really lishma.
Understanding the ways of Hashem?
No, that I'm saying that could be. It could be. You have to analyze it. But if the pleasures of this world, if it's a psychological pleasure or a physical pleasure, then that's going to be lo lishma. But if it's just simply the enjoyment a person has of kiruv l'makom, I don't think that would detract. My personal opinion. But I don't, you know, it's a good question. I mean, what does the Rambam mean? The Rambam says you don't join together any kind of hana from Olam Hazeh. So I think the Rambam says Olam Hazeh there because he's trying to answer your question. You know, now you can clear chakira is the enjoyment of learning Torah. Is that enjoyment of Olam Hazeh? Is it enjoyment of Lishma? I mean, it's interesting. It depends what your motivation is. It depends what the nature of your enjoyment is, I would think, you know. But I would think that it's possible to learn Torah Lishma and enjoy it without it becoming low Lishma. I would think it's definitely possible. Okay? But I mean, there's a lot of low Lishma reasons to enjoy Torah. And it is enjoyable, just the intellectual stimulation. And it develops your mind. And it's, you know, people respect it. So there's a lot of, you know, and you can advance in this world. And then there's a lot of benefits of learning Torah that are low lishma benefits that make your Torah low lishma. Okay? But we're going to get to back. We're going to come back to Gemara. Lo'olam yasi adam b'tor mitzvah shel lishma. Right? We'll get back to that. Yeah, go ahead, Yaakov.
Can you just give like a working definition of perfection? How are you using it?
Working definition of perfection?
I know.
This question again.
You said perfection has to be actualized now, you know.
Okay.
You have to know what perfection is. So you say that.
I would say, in the context of this year, okay, perfection means it's an orientation of the soul towards the source of reality. Is that vague enough? Does that work for me? That's vague.
It's
nice and vague. Okay, good. And that orientation has to be actualized.
Okay.
Okay. The potential is that works. You accept it? Orientation of the soul.
If you're doing it, isn't it already oriented towards that thing?
When you actualize it and you do it lishma.
Right before you do it, you're doing it because it is oriented towards that thing.
Right before you do it, you have the potential to actualize that orientation. It's not the same. Not the same of a potential perfection. It's not the same as actualizing it. You know, I mean, it is vague. What I'm saying is vague, relatively descriptive terms. It has to be developed, what I'm saying. It has to be developed.
I assume that's the difference. Yeah.
That I'm not necessarily capable of giving. Okay? But, you know, no, I mean, it's a good point. It's in when you learn, it's the same thing. That's why you're learning the methodology of thought you learn from Gemara. You have to be capable of taking steps. Taking solid steps and seeing, is this what the Torah is teaching us? Does it make sense? Is it intuitive? Can I go deeper and explain it deeper? Yeah, you could. But you shouldn't, just because I'm not at this point prepared to really, you know, get into the mechanics of the soul and how actualizing perfection works. You know, you do see from that Rambam and from this Tosafot and this Gemara, this idea, you know, this idea of any combination of lishma and lo lishma is defined as lo lishma. And you see this idea of the Rambam that you need a maisa, and that's the idea of Chananya ben Akash in the parish mission of the Rambam. And we have that basis of that from the Ramban and the idea of Nisayon. Right? I further also mentioned the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, of Tshuva Gemura, to be in the same situation as you were before and you don't do the same maisa. So there's you know, so it's establishing an idea of how the Torah looks at perfection that has to be. It's not just a theoretical, hypothetical idea of a soul, but it has to be actualized in the real world. Now, you're right. That implies something about the nature of the soul and perfection and Olam Haba and different things. And there's much deeper you can go, but you know, at this point, it's worth establishing a solid step of what we can say, what we can see from the Torah of how it views man's soul, man's perfection, even though we aren't going to take it further at this point in time. You know, I try to. There's a, you know, I'm trying to describe it, but it's fair enough. Okay, good. Okay. It's fascinating, right? It's a fascinating point. This Rambam is always, you know, the Rambam has always stood out to me. I never thought anybody else would say it. And then I see this Tosfos, I'm like, whoa, you know, now I have a shir, you know. Okay. It's just the Rambam, You don't know. It's an Iceland. Yeah?
Why not?
I don't know. Why? It's such a strange idea. If I didn't find confirmation from it somewhere else. No, you can give a shir on it. You could. It's just, it's like almost, you're not sure. It's also the Parish Mishnayos. No, I don't know. You're right. Even who cares? It's a Rambam Parish Mishnayos, perfectly legitimate. I don't know. It's just, and he says the Yesod HaTorah. I don't know. It's just something that you would expect. If it's a Yesod HaTorah, it should come up somewhere else. And it was, how's Rambam saying it's Yesod HaTorah, the Munas HaTorah? And I've never seen the idea anywhere else. Yeah. And there's something wrong about that. Something that bothered me. And then I say, this Gemara is Tosos, and there's I don't know if there's another way to learn this Gemara. I'm not sure. I haven't seen another, you know, reasonable way to learn the Gemara. But it's made the Rebbe's the source. The Rebbe's one of the Rambam sources, and they're Chanan ibn Trajan. So I don't know. I guess that's the thing. Such a basic fundamental idea, you would think it would come up somewhere else besides the Rambam Parish Mishnayos and the Makos. So that's what bothered me, I guess. And plus, you're right. Just in terms of developing the idea, it's there's a lot more room to understand it. Okay, fine. But
where's the Rambam?
It's the last Mishnah in Makos. The Parish Mishnah is the last Mishnah in Makos. Okay. Yeah, it's important Rambam. Yesodos of the Torah. Okay. Okay, but so from that Tosfos, we showed that halachically what Yael did was mutter, right? Which he did. Because either it was because of Karka Olam or because Latzalas Yisrael, right? So, why is it called an Avera? Okay. And what is the Gemara's question of Mitzvah Shalolishma, right? Mitzvah Shalolishma should be, how could you say that a Avera Lishma is greater? Okay. So, I'm not sure exactly the order to present the ideas. I'm just going to try to, maybe this is just starting at the end, but. Is the Gemara in the first statement when it just said Gedola Avera Lishma Gedola Avera Lishma Mi Mitzvah Shloshma? So the Gemara thinks that the way the Gemara originally interprets that statement is that what ultimately matters is not the action itself, but the motivation of the person doing the action. And if I have a person doing an Avera L'shem Shemayim, okay, we can again develop the idea of Avera. But a person is doing Avera for the perfect motivations. Yael doing it totally L'shem Shemayim. That's greater than a person who does a mitzvah for the wrong reasons. He's learning Torah because he wants people to respect him. So that's inferior. Like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, I think it's Rava, is Rachmana Libaybay, God wants the heart of the person, not just a hollow action. I think it's talking about Doik Adomi. Right, he learned a lot of Torah, but he was a real Rasha. So what do you bring? He's criticizing Amora there. He's saying, what does God want? He wants a person's heart. So what's the real thing? The motivation. And I don't care whether the Maisa you're doing is an Avera, it's a mitzvah, but if it's Lishma, it's the highest motivation, it's much greater than doing something for the wrong reasons, even that it is a mitzvah. Okay. That's the Gemara's initial thing. The whole thing is motivation. That's what really matters in life. That's what really matters. Rachman elibay bay. God wants your heart. Not the actions. The actions are simply a vehicle of expressing the real motivation of the person. It's true, like we said, can't just remain a potential in your heart. It has to be expressed in a maisa. It has to be expressed in the real world. But whether the action you're doing is technically a maisa and a vera, so long as it's an expression of the motivation, l'shem shemayim, that's the main thing. And the Gemara says, but how could you say that? We have the statement of Rabbi Marav, Lolam Yasik Adam Matar Mitzvah Shalom, Afilah Shalom Shman, Shritah Shalom Shman, Balashman. How can you degrade the Maisa itself and say the whole thing is motivation. But that's not true. We don't look at it that way. We say even if you're doing mitzvos that have alternative motivations for them, you're eating food and you have hana, having bia and you're having hana, but it's l'shem shemayim, but it's also lo lishma, right? So we don't say that there's anything wrong with them. We say, adarab l'olam yasko d'har mitzvah shalosh man. Keep doing those shalosh man. 99% of the mitzvahs you're going to be doing are lo lishma. And you should keep doing them. Why? Because eventually, by doing mitzvah shalosh lishma, they become lishman. Why? Why do they become lishman? Because that's what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are the perfect actions designed for the holy nation, Klal Yisrael, in order to lead them on a life, a perfected life, and to perfect their soul and change who they are through the actions themselves, such that when they get the opportunity of giving that tzedakah for the perfect reasons, they do it. Had Rav Chanan ben Trajan not done any mitzvos in his life up to that point, he would not have been in position to give do the tzedakah lishman and be zocha l'chayim haba. So it's true, the fact that all the mitzvos you did up to that point were lo lishma and don't really, really reflect the true perfection and the motivation of lishma and the gavra. But the actions change you. The very acts of mitzvos are perfecting actions. And mitzvos shalishma have that aspect to them that Nevera doesn't have. Okay? Yael sleeping with Sisera is a Nevera because it's true. Pikuch nefesh is docha, the iser. But the iser is still sleeping with a guy. You can't get around that. That act is not an act of perfection. The act itself does not bring perfection to a person. Okay? It doesn't mean that there aren't situations where a person has to do that. And she did that. And the Torah recognized the heter. A person is starving, has to eat basar b'chalav. Milchas is not the best example, actually. I won't get into that. But a person has to, say, steal in order to save his life. It's true. Pikuach nefesh is docha, the iser gzela. But you don't say the mice gzela is a corrupting action. It's a harmful action to a person. There's a reality. Torah asered geneva, gzela, be with the guy. It asered these things because these things are they corrupt the person. They harm the person. Okay, they're not good. The act itself intrinsically is detrimental. That's why it's called an avera. It's true. The iser is nidcha. The iser is pushed off. Okay, and the motivation is there, but you can't get around the fact that the act itself is a corrupting action. That's why Yael was harmful to her. She didn't have enough from it because she knew that this is a harmful action for her, and she didn't enjoy it. Okay, but the Imahos, they're sleeping with Aaron and Yaakov, they can enjoy that. It's a perfecting action. It's a mitzvah. You can enjoy it, and the Hana there, there's no problem with it. It's not a corrupting action. So mitzvahs, right? So how can you say that the Avera Lishma is the whole thing? It's the Avera Lishma is lacking this key element that a mitzvah Shelo Lishma has. The fact that the underlying action in a mitzvah Shelo Lishma is a perfecting action and good for a person. La'olam, you should be doing those all day long. Mitzvah Shelo Lishma. Be osik in terms of those all day long Shelo Lishma. That's what you do, basically. That is the path to perfection. Be osik in terms of mitzvah Shelo Lishma. That should be your whole life. All day long doing shalom lishman, and you don't worry, you will come across a mitzvah and you'll do a lishma at some point in your life, and that's going to be fine. But essentially, what do? We do our later life in terms of shalom lishman. That's what we do. That's lolam. Yeah, go ahead.
What was the avmin? The avmin is that motivation is everything?
Yes, the motivation is that ultimately what matters is the motivation of the person. Why do you chayam haba? For lishma.
Ultimately, isn't more important, or?
Ultimately, yeah, all that really, yeah, more important, what really matters, what we truly value in Judaism, we look at the action as nothing. Even an Avera Lishma is greater than a Mitzvah Lishma, because all that really matters is the motivation of the person. In a certain framework, it's true. Like right. You see, you need, but in another framework, it's completely wrong. We value the Maisa HaMitzvah itself. Okay, that's the Gemara's final answer, ultimately. They're equal. Right. We value both equally. We value the Maisa HaMitzvah itself, because the Maisa Mitzvah perfects the person. The motivation is Shalosh Ma, it doesn't matter. 99% of the actions, what you do in your life, should be Mitzvah Shalosh Ma. That's how you perfect yourself. Now, you're going to ultimately need that second element of Lishma. At some point, you're going to need to do an action which is totally Lishma. Okay, whether it's an Aver, whether it's a Mitzvah, it doesn't matter. At some point, you're going to have to take that perfection that you got from being involved in a life of Torah Mitzvah Shalosh Lishma, with all the motivations of Olam Hazeh that came along with all the mitzvahs and Torah that you learned in this world. Okay, at some point, you're going to be presented with an opportunity to realize that, and multiple times, not just once. in an action that's lishma, whether it's an aver, whether it's a mitzvah, lishma, and that lishma motivation will be the full realization of perfection, and that will be yizocha chayim abah. But you need both. One without the other doesn't work. You can't just have, nobody ever gets to lishma, just starts off lishma. Everybody starts off doing tar mitzvah shalol lishma, and the actions themselves perfect you. Then you get into a situation where you can do it perfectly lishma, and because you've been priming yourself your whole life, perfecting yourself, then you do something perfectly lishma, and that's the culmination of the perfection. But it's both things. So an avera lishma lacks the underlying perfection of the action. A mitzvah shalol lishma lacks the underlying the perfection of the motivation. Okay, the ultimate is a mitzvah lishma. That's the ultimate because the act itself perfects you, and then it's the full tzedakah lishma. That was the ultimate. You know, that's the ultimate. But you can have each element in isolation. That's the Gemara's point. You can have each element in isolation, and you need both. You need to have at some point to realize the full perfection of lishma. But then on the other hand, your whole life you have to be doing la'olam yasek olam termitz shelo lishma. Because that's the only method of to ultimately get to the level of lishma. To do something lishma is mitoch shlo lishma ba lishma. That's the only real method we have. So they have, each one has a maila. Mitzvah shlo lishma have a maila, and averus lishma have a maila.
Isn't an averus shlo lishma actualizing perfection?
Averus lishma.
Yes, averus lishma actualizing perfection, whereas mitzvah shlo lishma isn't.
Shlo lishma develops the. It changes the person just by doing it shalol lishma.
Right.
It creates the potential. The potential is created in the person by the mitzvah shalol lishma.
Right.
That's what really changes the internal structure of the person's soul.
Right.
But it's not actualized until it expresses itself in a lishma action.
Right. So those are different qualities.
They're two different things. You need them both. You need the Torah mitzvah shalol lishma, which are working on you and changing you, and the internal perfection that's being changed. And then you need to express that ultimately through a maisa lishma.
Does an avera lishma corrupt you in any sense?
It does, yeah.
Ah.
It does.
Is they really equal?
Yeah, the avera lishma is harmful. That's why it's called an avera. It hurts you. It does hurt you. And the Gemara says that. The Zuoma, the Gemara go further. And Gemara Nivamos, I don't get into it. I don't get into the Nachash. The Zuoma of the Nachash. When Chava and the Nachash, you put Zuoma and then... Okay. It's a whole different agadata. You could look into it if you want. Whatever. Okay, I don't want to get into it. okay. So yeah, the Aver itself underlying, the Mice Aver, there's a reason why God answered the Aver. The reason he answered is because it's harmful. And there's nothing you can do about that. Just because you're in a situation of Pikuach Nefesh and you have to do an Avera to save Klai Yisrael doesn't change the fact that the Avera harms the person. Okay. And when you do a mitzvah for totally the wrong reasons, it doesn't change the fact that the mitzvah perfects the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Kapach Mishnayot refers back to the realm says by Makos, that as I explained earlier, right?
In Chelek.
Yeah.
Correct.
As you know, as I explained earlier, it says, isn't that... that you're not learning Torah, you're not doing mitzvahs in order to receive anything, and you can enjoy it, but you, for instance, you want to get kavod, you want to get money, you want to gain benefits from the olam hazeh, you're doing it for that as opposed to learning Torah and enjoying it. Those are two different things.
Are you asking the other question? If a person, the question you asked before, if a person enjoys Torah, is that considered lo lishma? Is that your question? I agreed with you before. I'm saying you just have to define the nature of the enjoyment. You could enjoy learning and it still be lishma. It depends what about it you're enjoying. If you're enjoying the intellectual exercise, that to me, that I don't think that's considered lishma. But if you enjoy being involved in the God's gift to man, that Klai Yisrael is creation, and doing his mitzvah and serving him by learning his Torah, and and it's you're involved in studying the reality, studying his you know, Torah's God's creation in the blueprint of the world, then I don't see that right. That's not a hanav olam hazeh, but I'm saying a person could turn learning Torah into hanav olam hazeh, and that's you just have to define exactly what the hanav is. But like bia is definitely hanav olam hazeh, right? Torah is it could be olam hazeh. You know, I think stam person enjoying learning is still lishma. I don't think know what I'm saying? I think a person enjoys learning, and he learns because he... If you learn just because of the hana, I don't know. Maybe if that's exactly really the whole motivation, you just really, you're heated. Okay. If you're... Lakant is a different thing. That's to break another guy down.
Right.
But let's say a guy is just a hedonist, okay? He loves pleasure, but he realizes he's sophisticated. He's a philosopher. And he realizes that the physical world can't really offer that much pleasure. And learning Torah offers more pleasure. So he learns Torah because he realizes it's the most enjoyable activity. He's a chacham. He realizes the best pleasure. So I don't think that's lishma. Because then he's just after pleasure. And he's just intelligent enough to realize that learning Torah is the most enjoyable thing in this world. Most people don't realize that. They think the most enjoyable thing is food and sex and big houses and big cars and competing with other people. And they're lost in a world of fantasy. And they don't realize that the greatest life is the guy who's learning Torah. He enjoys every minute of his life. But then this guy says, I realize that, and now I want an enjoyable life, I'm going to do that. That's lo lishma. Do it. You should do that. That's lo olam yasa Torah mitzvah shlo lishma. But I would say that's still lo lishma. I would think you have to have the element of Avas Hashem involved in order for it to be lishma. It's got to be realizing that Torah is a gift from God. And this is how you serve your Creator by learning Torah. And if you enjoy that action, I think that's lishma. But if you kind of divorce the idea of God from the Torah and just enjoy the Torah as a intellectual exercise where it is enjoyable and it's, you know, I don't know. It could be it's not even that enjoyable if you do that. Part of the enjoyment is you're discovering the world and the world of ideas and the world of Torah. It's something real that God gave to us. I don't know. I wonder how enjoyable Torah would be if you just looked at it as a chess game. I doubt it.
When you talk about physical pleasures, do you mean specifically Bia? Because isn't Bia really like refraining from the storm as opposed to buying expensive items for Yontif or Shabbat? Like, that's a physical pleasure. Like, the recognition and the honor due to Shabbat and Yontif, no? Or using Shabbat as a mechanism for all physical pleasures?
Well, I mean, Achil is also a physical... I understand your question.
I'm saying, is that different? Because one is because Shabbat is really more about the Asurim to avoid, as opposed to active, positive things to do?
Meaning what? I understand. What's your other example? Oneg Shabbos, you said?
So Oneg Shabbos includes Yontif.
Right, those are also physical pleasures. Well, why aren't those physical pleasures?
Right. No, they are physical pleasures, but they're active. So those can be the Shema, even though they're physical pleasures, no?
B is also active.
Yeah, but I'm saying...
I don't get your question.
Is it just a serum as opposed to, like, to avoid?
Is it just what? Isurim, you said? Is it just
Isurim? You said Isurim. No, never mind.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay. Okay, fine. Okay. Now, I just want to finish it off with the Gemara and Sanhedrin. This is what I spoke about. I'll try to be quick about it on Friday night. But I think it's good with this whole thing. And it completes, you know, two ideas. The idea of Averos and mitzvos, the interesting Averos and mitzvos, and it's also this Gemara has the idea of how that question about whether you can matir halacha through an iser. Okay, so the Gemara is in Sanhedrin Chelek. Okay, it's Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. It's about 15 lines up
from the bottom.
Yeah, okay, maybe 20. V'amar vidu marav bikish David lavad avodah zarah. So David wanted to worship avodah zarah. Okay, when? So when he was running away from Avshalom, right, Avshalom wanted to overthrow him and kill him, and he was running away from Avshalom, he was afraid he was going to be killed. He wanted to worship the Zara. Strange Gemara. Shenemar. Vahi David ba'at harosh, ashe yishtach v'sham lelokim, vein rosh levod Zara. Okay, so David wanted to came to the Rosh, which was the top of some hill or something, and the Gemara, that's where they worship the Zara. The Gemara shows from right, pasuk in Daniel, v'hut salma reishi di dahav tav. It's right. The idea of rosh is avodah zara. Also, bad meragelim nis na rosh neshuva mitzrayim. Rosh is avodah zara. And David came; they wanted to worship avodah zara. So what happened? V'nei likrasa chushi arki karua kutanta v'adam rosha. So chushi arki, some character I don't know where he's from other than this story. So he comes out torn clothes and he has dirt on his head. Okay, so he says, Gemara records the conversation. What happens? Amar lo David, Yomer mech shekamoscha yavav dezara. So Chushi says to him, "How are you going to worship a dezara?" They're going to say, people are going to say, a king like you worships with the Zara. Rashi, chassid shekem, nope, no Rashi, not yet. Okay, so Chushi says to him, how are you going to be you can't worship with the Zara. A king like you is going to worship with the Zara, terrible. Amar lo, David Mel said back to him, Yomru, mel shekemosi yargenu b'no. They're going to say that a king like me, his son kills him. Mutav yavod with the Zara v'yischal shem shemayim v'rasya. Better that I worship with the Zara and then Shem Shemayim is not mischulal in public. Rashi. Yomru mel shekemosi, chassid shekemoni, hargu benoa, chassid, great chassid, like David Melech, is his son killed him. Vahim Yisramel, midos shekash baruch hu. People are going to be complaining about the midos of Akash baruch hu. What's wrong with them? V'nim to Shem Shemayim mischal v'rasya, and Klal Yisrael is going to be midos of Akash baruch hu, chassid, like David Melech, his son killed him. Where's the justice in the situation? And it's going to be Chil Hashem of all Klal Yisrael saying God doesn't do justice. How could I not worship about the Zara?
How would that help?
Oh, how's that going to help?
Yeah.
Oh, because...
They'll say it's deserving.
Yeah, he'll say he deserves it because he worships about the Zara. Now you're not going to be Chil Hashem. And people will say, oh, there you go, justice. David Melech, the great chassid, he made a sin. He chose it falsely. He made a bad Bechir decision. And he worships with the Zara. Even a person as great as David is capable of sinning and making a mistake. Right? And he got what he deserved. He worshiped with the Zara. And his son killed him as a punishment to him. And there's not going to be a Chil Hashem anymore. Befarasya. Okay. Rashi spells it out. Mutav Evod with the Zara. Ve'echalo is Hashem ani levadi v'lo yichalo osim kolam. Better that the Chil Hashem be just me. People say, of course it's a Chil Hashem if David HaMelech worships with the Zara. It's a great tzaddik and chassid like David HaMelech worships with the Zara is a Chil Hashem. But it's a Chil Hashem of David HaMelech as an individual worships with the Zara. That's better than all of Klal Yisrael saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do justice. Okay, so better that he should do it, right, than all of Klal Yisrael. Be Machal Shem Shemayim Befarasya. Okay. So Amar, so Chushi says to him, my time a konasavis yifas tawar. Why did you marry yifas tawar? Okay. Amar Le, David said back to him, because Avshalom, who's David's son, who's going to kill him, was a son of a yifas tawar, a woman captured at war. Amalei yifas Torah, Chmana Sharia yifas Torah. The Torah matted it. What's the problem? It's totally mutter. Amalei, Chushi said back to David, Lo derashta smuchin. You weren't Torah smuchin the Torah. The samachle. Next to Parshas yifas Torah, it says Ki Yelish ben Saramor, Kolonos yifas Torah Yeshel ben Saramor. Whoever marries a yifas Torah, an Ish yifas Torah, their son's going to be ben Saramor. Okay, Rashi. Amalei, Chushi argued to David. Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo v'dina b'lo dina. Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do justice with he doesn't punish a person if it's unjust. Shemayim bin chalar gecha. He's going to have your son kill you for no reason. You must have deserved it. Da'at my time I can asav as yifas tawar. Di'im shalav shalom ma'amacha bas talmi melech gusha. V'tafs dav milchama. Okay. So she was yifas tawar. And de'in lom ba'veir bal. You can't say that he married her through an aveira. Daksiv, Rakbidvar or Yachiti, that was his only chait, right? His only Avera. So he married a Behet. There must be issues if as Tawar. Okay. And Avshalom. And the Torah says, right, whoever marries Yifas Tawar, there's consequences to that. That Yifasan will be Ben Saramor. Okay. So before we get to the very end of that Gemara, what the dialogue of Yifas Tawar is the first part is very strange. Why is David, it seems to contradict it. Is Chil Hashem, to prevent a Chil Hashem before Esther, is a person allowed to worship Avodah Zarah? Is that really true? That contradicts what we said last week. We said last week that David tried to have a rationalization for his sin with Uriah of Bathsheba, Uriah Achiti's wife. He said, I'm doing it L'Shem Shemayim to prevent a Chil Hashem, but that didn't help him. He still was is a mitigating factor, but he was still punished for it, and he was still a chait. Because Yechil Hashem is not Matir Al HaChagisr. And we saw today, Avera Lishma doesn't mean that the Lashem Shemayim matters in Avera. You need halachic principles of Karka Olam or Hatzalas Yisrael. You can't just say it's Lashem Shemayim. Okay. So how could it be that David is matir, that David is doing Avodah Zarah to prevent the Chil Hashem? There's still an issue of Avodah Zarah. Second of all, if David just wants to prevent the Chil Hashem, does he really have to worship with the Zara? Couldn't he eat a piece of Chazer? Do you know what I mean? Do so, wear Klayim? You know what I mean? Or he walked out house with any tzitzis on? Like, you know, does he have to really do such a big sin? Make a bracha no yarmulke? Right? It's just not necessary. Avodah Zarah seems extreme. It seems an extreme thing to do. Why is he... Let him do other sins, and then people will say, he got killed for those other sins. Right? Why does he have to go all the way to Avodah Zarah? It seems very extreme. Right? Okay. So, the Beis Halevi gives an answer. Okay? So if you notice one thing, just is Rashi, when he says, the Rashi, Mutav Evod Avodah Zarah, better for him to worship Avodah Zarah, David says, V'chalas Hashem ani levati, v'li chalo osa kolam. And better for me to mechal Hashem Shemayim alone and not the whole Am. Why doesn't Rashi say better to worship Avodah Zarah as opposed to the whole Am being mechal Hashem Shemayim? See, Rashi converts the Avodah Zarah to Chil Hashem. Right? He says better that I should mechal Hashem Shemayim as a Yachid than to mechal Hashem Shemayim for Hesed. But the question here is between Chil Hashem before Hesed and Chil Hashem be Yachid. What happened to Avodah Zarah? So basically, Levi says there's a Gemara in Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, in Sanhedrin. Okay? So, it's a machlokus there, but we go like Rava, and this Gemara, I guess, he's going like Rava. Okay? So the Gemara says there, it's in the middle of the daf. It says, Itmar, Ovei Vodazar Me'ava Me'ira. Okay? Rava Amar Pater. Skipping a bite. So what does it mean? Rashi, me'ava mi'ir, me'avas adam, mi'iras adam, v'lo chashav libo belakus. You worship Avodah Zarah, but for other motivations, right, ava mi'ira, but you don't have in mind that it's an Avodah Zarah. So your pater, Rashi, bein b'meze bein shogig, delav klom avad. Right? It's nothing. Right? That's a gemara. Rav amar pater, I kibla b'aloha in, ilolo. If you accept it as a god, that's Avodah Zarah. If you don't, you don't. So basically, if he says, see from this gemara, that Avodah Zarah is really a chet belev. Okay? Is that the essence of Avodah Zarah is what is going on in the mind of the person. The act of bowing down is not Avodah Zarah. It's the act of it is only Avodah Zarah if belev the person has in mind to accept it as a god, to worship the idol as a god. And without that, lo avod klum, it's simply not Avodah Zarah. You're not chayav b'shogeg, you're not chayav b'chatas, you're not chayav b'mezid, it's nothing. The lev is the essence of Avodah Zarah. Okay, lahavdil, it's like a person who davens and bows down at modim, but he's not thinking about God. He's thinking about something else. He has no intent whatsoever to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not tefillah. He's not omelif ne'Hashem. He's in his mind doing something else. The simple act of taking three steps forward and three steps back and bowing down, that's not tefillah. Tefillah demands a kavanas alev of omelif ne'Hashem, and you have to realize what you're doing. Okay, so it's a lev. Avodah Zarah also is like that. Avodah Zarah demands, according to Rava at least, it demands the person having in mind kibla b'aloha, accepting it as a god. And if you just do the action without the kavanas alev at all, it's simply halachically not Avodah Zarah. Now, I would assume you're going to kill the guy if you warn him, you know, based on the action, because we're done according to the ESA Nayim, what it seems like. And if it seems like he did it intentionally in kibla b'aloha, even if it is secretly, you know, we have to go by what it looks like if he genuinely worshipped it. But halachically, what really is going on, if his internal lave is not there, lo of a klum, it's nothing. Okay? It's not of a desire at all. So that's why...
You're not giving up your life?
Tosus asked that question. Yeah. Tosus on the daf there. Of course you do. But he says because of Kiddush Hashem. That's one of his answers. It's not because of a desire, it's because of Kiddush Hashem. Okay?
Are all three of those for Kiddush Hashem?
I don't think so. I think Avodah Zarah is unique. Okay? I don't know. Take a look at the Tosos. Take a look at the Tosos. Not now. Afterwards. But yeah, I mean, that's the Tosos' question.
What's the question?
Why is he Yagva Yavor? That's the question.
And if you just do this then.
Yeah, just why don't you just say, worship the Avodah Zarah, but don't have a mind to accept it as a god. It's not Avodah Zarah. So one of his answers is because of Kiddush Hashem. So let's go with that one. Okay? Yinam Mishum Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. His question. He says, "Rav Amar Pata, Afagaf de Perik Ben Sora Mora." That's the Gemara 9 Dalad in Sanhedrin. Amar Vos Kuchav Miagval Yavor. So Kiddush Hashem. So it could be because of Kiddush Hashem. That's his answer. He comes to at the end. Okay, but there's different answers. Okay, but I mean, yeah, you have to work out. You have to work out the sugyas with Rava. Okay, with I'm not trying to do these sugyas with the Zohar right now. I'm really trying to make one point. Okay, the point is you see from this Beis Halevi also, is that and that Rashi over here, okay, is that chil Hashem, to prevent the chil Hashem before Hesia, David was not allowed to do an Avera like Avodah Zarah. It wasn't halachically Avodah Zarah. Why can't a person bow down to an idol even though he has in mind that I'm not worshiping this idol at all? Because it's a chil Hashem. It's a tremendous Avera, chil Hashem. You're not allowed to do that. But the reason why bowing down to an idol with having in mind that this is not I'm not worshiping this idol is also because of chil Hashem. Right? Now, chil Hashem is different than a technical ma'aseh avera. Shabbos, you can't matir Shabbos because of chil Hashem. To prevent the chil Hashem, I'm gonna be mechal Shabbos. You can't do that. You can't say eat pork because you're gonna prevent chil Hashem. That's a technical avera. Chil Hashem is different. Okay, chil Hashem is an idea that the purpose of the Torah is to create a kiddush Hashem in the world and to prevent chil Hashem in the world. The chil Hashem comes not because it's a rigorous technical ma'aseh avera, okay, but it's because a person recognizes that God gave the Torah for a certain reason of what the Torah is trying to accomplish in the world. It's trying to bring the world to recognition of the Shem Hashem, right? The idea of the whole world, like the Moshe Mashiach, everybody's going to recognize God. They're going to form one society and all be mekabel melachos shamayim, and that's what the Torah's do. The Torah's geared to that purpose. And not just the Torah, but we believe the entire world was created for that purpose, right? The Torah is kadma olam. The purpose of the Torah is preceded the world, meaning the purpose of the Torah is the purpose of the world. Rather, the purpose of the world is the purpose of the Torah, and therefore the whole creation of the world ultimately is for Kiddush Hashem in the world. So the reason why a person avoids Chil Hashem and does actions because of Kiddush Hashem is because he recognizes that this is ultimately God's will. And he wants to be in line with God's will. Not because there's technical actions of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, but because he's trying, he loves God, Avas Hashem, and he wants to facilitate what God wants. And God wants, clear from the Torah and clear from the creation, is that God wants Kiddush Hashem, that the whole world should recognize his name, and he wants to avoid Chil Hashem, which is Chil Hashem is defined as anything that detracts from the purpose of the world, the purpose of the Torah. Okay. But when you're engaged, so with David HaMelech, what he did over here, when he was involved in bowing, or he was had a havamina to bow down to Avodah Zarah, where he's had in mind not a really Avodah Zarah, he's not engaged in being docha, a technical isser, because of Chil Hashem. He's involved in a question of a calculus of Chil Hashem. He has to decide, I can either have do nothing, and my son will kill me, and it's going to be a Chil Hashem before Hesia. Everybody's going to say, Les din v'les dayan, God doesn't do justice. Whole Klal Yisrael, tremendous Chil Hashem. All of the Jews basically saying God is not just. We have this great king who's a chassid. He did nothing wrong, and all his son kills him. Why should we serve God? He doesn't do justice. The biggest Chil Hashem you can imagine. Or you have this Chil Hashem of David HaMelech, who we thought was a big tzaddik. Turns out he worshipped with the Tzar. It's a Chil Hashem. It's a Chil Hashem, but it's a Chil Hashem for an individual. Everybody's going to say, you can't trust yourself. He's going to become the paradigm example of you can't trust a person's perfection. A person always has free will. Even David Melch Yisrael, at the end of his life, he worshipped with the Tzar and his son killed him. It's a Chil Hashem, but a much smaller Chil Hashem. And in the framework of Chil Hashem, you have to compare. If I do nothing, a huge Chil Hashem will result. If I bow down to Avodah Zarah with in mind not to worshipping it, a smaller Chil Hashem will result. What do? You do the smaller Chil Hashem. You don't say Shev Al Tasa. You don't say I'll be passive. I can't choose between either way a Chil Hashem. I have no right to actively do a Chil Hashem. I should do nothing, be passive. No, you don't say that. Shev Al Tasa is a principle in halacha. When you're choosing, a guy says either kill this one person or I'm going to kill 10 people. So then you say Shev Al Tasa. You don't have the right to kill that one person. Do nothing. But in Chil Hashem, it's not technical. It doesn't make a difference whether you're actively causing a Chil Hashem or whether you're passively allowing a Chil Hashem to occur. It makes no difference. You're not judging it by the act itself. You're judging it by the result. Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem are entirely judged by the result that occurs from your action or inaction. And it's completely irrelevant whether you're actively causing it or passively allowing it to happen. And the only thing that matters is what will minimize the Chil Hashem. And if bowing down to Avodah Zarah will minimize the Chil Hashem, then you bow down to Avodah Zarah. Okay, it doesn't make a difference that that by doing nothing you won't have to actively be mechal shem shemayim because a bigger chil shem will result. Yeah, go ahead.
How did he know that Hashem will kill him?
That's a good question.
Didn't know the situation would change.
It's a good question.
Which it did, right?
Yeah, it did. It's true. It's a good question. Someone else asked me. It's true. I don't know how he knew. I guess everything seemed like that was going to happen. And I guess, look, it's. I would say that you have to take into account probabilities. You know, if David was 95% certain that Avshalom was going to kill him, you know, so it's a wait. You have to wait it. A huge Chil Hashem that's 90% likely, or a small Chil Hashem that's 100% likely. Could be, then the better to go for the smaller Chil Hashem. It's 100% likely, yeah, but you can't take the risk of the all of Klal Yisrael, you know, worshiping Avodah Zarah, and it's true, it's only 90% likely, still you can't risk it. So it's all part of your calculus. What you're doing is you're a human being who sees the different possibilities of the future. You take into account certainty, you take into account how bad it will be if it occurs, and you put those all together, and you have to make a decision. What should you do? But it's entirely based on a result-oriented thing. And you're right, probabilities play a role, but just because something's a suffix doesn't mean that, you know, suffix nefashos is docha Shabbos, right? If a person's life is in, might die, he might not die. He's vadeh v'mechal Shabbos. Yeah, but he might die. The suffix nefashos is docha Shabbos. So sometimes a suffix can be docha vadeh. So a suffix chil Hashem b'faresia is docha, is worth avoiding, even though it's a vadeh chil Hashem b'yachet. That's a bad chil Hashem b'faresh. So all Klai Yisrael saying less dim, less dying has to be avoided at all costs. Had it been a 5% chance, you know, that he, I don't know. You know what I mean? There's a balance, but that's what you have to be engaged in. It's the calculus of chil Hashem. It's, you don't, there's no technical rules. It's all about your life is done. You live your life in order to minimize chil Hashem and in order to produce kiddush Hashem. And it's all about results. Okay? But there's no raya from this Gemara either. That was the other Gemara who was mentioned last week. There's no raya from this Gemara either that you can matter halachic yasser from because of tevoi chil Hashem. No right that you have a right to eat chazer tevoi chil Hashem. You can't do that. The halachic system, like we said, it's a rigorous system. It doesn't let your subjective speculations of what is going to happen allow you to push off a firm halachic yasser. It's true chil Hashem is, you know, but the halachic system has rules and it's rigid and it doesn't allow you to try to predict the future. 90% chance a Chil Hashem is going to occur, therefore I have to eat Chazer. You can't do that. That doesn't work. Okay? And that's exactly why David didn't eat Chazer, why he bowed down to Vodazar, who's going to bow down to Vodazar. And that's Gufa, the Beis HaLevi's Pshat. Right? So it's just another Gemara that looks like it says you can be Doch HaLachic Yisr for higher motivations, outside the system motivations, but it's not true. I don't think that there's no point to Torah allow you to go outside the system of Torah. There's nothing outside the system of Torah that allows you to mat there. You know, maybe Eis Lassos, but even that's part of the Torah.
Okay? But if it were 100% Chil
Hashem? I don't think so.
Could you chazer
then? No, that's what I'm saying no. I'm saying no. I think that's the point I'm trying to make, is that there's a difference between a halachic yisr and between Chil Hashem. Like we discussed last week, it's two different frameworks. And the Torah doesn't allow you. Because Chil Hashem, you see it, it's like a subjective estimation of the Chacham's, what the Chacham thinks is going to happen in the future. It's just, right. It's amorphous. You can't, the system of Torah can't tolerate amorphous subjective projections of what's going to happen in the future. It's a rigid system to a certain degree. It's an objective system. It has to have fixed rules. You know, and you're bound to that Torah, you're bound to that system before you're allowed to engage in this calculus of Chil Hashem. But if you can figure out a way around that, or if many situations in your life are not going to involve technical mitzvahs and averos, most situations in your life are not going to involve that. And in that framework, your entire existence is dedicated to producing Kiddush Hashem and minimizing Chil Hashem. And in that framework, all that matters is the result. Once the technical maisa has no halachic, you know, value attached to it. Okay, good.
So what's the answer?
What was it? Oh, the Yivas Tovar?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's the last point. Okay, good. So what's the Yivas Tovar? So basically, he said to him like this, is Yivas Tovar, you marry, why do you marry Yivas Tovar? So David said, the Torah matred Yivas Tovar. So David thought that the Torah came up with this system. What do you do? The person's in war. He sees this beautiful woman. He wants to sleep with her. The Torah found a way to make it kosher. Okay, there's a way you bring her into your house. She shaves her hair. She grows her nails. 30 days, she cries. The Torah found a way to make it a good institution. It mattered it. It found a way that it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it, and the Torah gave it stamp of approval. It's fine. Okay? Torah, what do you mean? He's just following the Torah and totally mutter. So Chushi said to him, you're wrong. Is Yifas Torah is lo dibra Torah kenegad yitzara. Yifas Torah is an avera. Okay? It's a maisa avera. In terms of the act itself is harmful to a person. Like we said before, in avera shelo lishma. You can't change that fact. Marrying a gaya and sort of forcing, it's, you're not forcing her, but you're ultimately taking a woman, making a woman convert who didn't want to convert beforehand. She's not necessarily going to be really committed to Torah and mitzvos. She didn't come on her own. She might have some aggression towards you for what you did to her. You destroyed her country, possibly her whole family. You know, there might be some resentment for what you did to her in the field also. And that aggression might, resentment might pass over to her kids. And it probably will. And that kid might resent you, like Avshalom resented David. Okay, it might be on an unconscious level, but it will be there. And the Torah can't change that fact. The Torah just saw that a person can't control his Yetzirah in this situation. It's possible. And the Torah said, better that God... See, every avera has two things. It's the harm of the act itself and the fact that you're rebelling against God by doing something he told you don't do. It's bad for you. Don't do it. So the Torah says, is God's not going to say don't do it. It removed the act of rebellion against God, of the Isser. It was Docha the Isser Legamri. There's no Isser whatsoever Yifas Torah. There's no halachic Isser. But it's being docha halachic iser doesn't make the underlying action not corruptive, not harmful to the person. And there are natural consequences of doing averos that harm the person. Just like by avera lishma, we said you're totally mutter. Yahweh was doing it to save all of Klal Yisrael, but it doesn't mean the underlying action is not harmful to her. And the same thing with Yifas Torah, it becomes mutter because the Torah was docha the iser because of yitzara lo dibra Torah kenegid yitzara. But Yehushiarki says, David, that doesn't mean that the underlying Avera is not harmful to you. It's true, it doesn't have a shame Isser at all. But it still is a harmful action. The Torah can't change that. The Torah created all those rules just for God to say, I'm not going to Aser it. But he didn't remove it from being a harmful action. That's intrinsic, it's a natural consequences of the act itself. And that's why the Torah alludes to it through Smichos, Spencer Amor is right next to it. And Yehushiarki said to David, the people see this. The people will realize this. People understand that it's true, wasn't technically an Isser, but you did it to yourself. That because Avshalom was the son of Yifas Tohar, that's why he rebelled against you, and you shouldn't have done that to yourself. And they're not going to say, les dim v'les dayan. They're going to say, it's true. They're going to say, David didn't do a technical chait, and God didn't punish him for technical chait, but God didn't save him from harming himself. David harmed himself by marrying Yifas Tohar, and they're not going to say, les dim v'les dayan. They will understand that there's consequences to an avera, even if technically the Torah mattered it, and they will attribute the punishment that David received from his own failings, not from the fact that God doesn't do justice. Okay, so that's the same.
So it was already too late.
What?
It was already too late
for David.
Already, yeah.
Yeah, it was too late for him. Mm-hmm. Correct. I mean, but he didn't have to worry about the Chil Hashem. No need to bow down to Avodah Zarah.
That's good.
Right, correct. That was the chushi. It's not hutcho. The Torah didn't matir legamri. It didn't remove the shame. It didn't remove the underlying character of Avera. It just did enough in order to be docha the iser. But the underlying character of Avera and its harmfulness is still there, and the people recognize, and there's no need to bow down.
What about Bechir, though? Why did the Torah have to matir?
Because the Torah realizes their situation where a person can't control themselves. Yitro takfo. Sometimes you don't always have bechira, you know, or sometimes your bechira might not be the not every bechira decision is created equal. Sometimes when a person is a situation of yitzro takvo, the type of bechira decision is so difficult that Torah doesn't rely on that as a possibility, a realistic possibility. It's always there, but it's not a realistic possibility. And if the Torah had asserted it, it would simply be making the situation worse. If a person is going to do something wrong anyway, it's not going to help it for it to be asser. You're going to make it worse. Now you're increasing what an act that's naturally harmful to him, and you're making a rebellion against God. Why do that? There's no advantage to that. So Torah found a way. If you do it this way, this or this way, God can tolerate you doing it, but don't think you're not harming yourself, and there aren't consequences. He didn't remove the consequences. Okay, like everything else in life, there's still consequences to the action.
Right.
it's just the chuya. The isser is nidcha, but the underlying action retains its identity as being a harmful action. Okay, good. Any other questions?
Yeah, how come it's not perpetuating the isser of testing God? Don't worry.
How come it's not perpetuating the isser of what?
Of lotanasu, of testing God. That shouldn't it be irrelevant whether or not God punishes the tzaddik?
Shouldn't it be irrelevant? I don't understand the question.
Isn't there an isser d'areisa of testing God of saying if someone's successful living a life of Torah is leads to success and I'll follow Torah? Otherwise right. They won't.
Right, you're not allowed to test God. Yesh Hashem b'kerbeinu mayan. But are you saying David was testing God? I don't understand what you're asking.
No, I'm saying that the people, according to him, he wanted to prevent people from turning away from God. They'll say, oh, God treats the tzaddikim this way, why should I follow his Torah?
Right.
So isn't that perpetuating that isser?
No, not perpetuating. There's just a reality. If people see a tzaddik like David Melech Yisrael, a chassid who has no, doesn't deserve his fate, and they see a tzaddik like him get killed by his son, they're going to say, less din v'less dayan. Should they say that? No, they shouldn't. David HaMelech didn't say that. David HaMelech thought he's a chassid. He has no clue why this is happening to him. It doesn't seem like he deserves it. But David HaMelech wasn't denying Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David Chas V'Shalom, he wasn't saying that. He was saying, Mishpat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. But David HaMelech is realistic enough to realize that the people are not going to necessarily be capable of saying that. They see somebody like David, who in their eyes is the ultimate tzaddik, and he gets killed by his son. They're not going to be able to say, it's just Mishpat Hashem. Should they? Yes, of course they should, but they wouldn't. And therefore, the Chil Hashem would result. And then that was something he had to avoid at all costs. Even though it meant ultimately he was willing to sacrifice his entire reputation to be known as the king who went off the path, and instead of the great legacy of David Melech Yisrael, that we have as the great tzaddik and the Baal Nebal Tshuva and the progenitor of the Mashiach, he would have been known as the king who threw it all away through some stupid avera of worshiping Avodah Zarah. But he was willing to do that to prevent the Chil Hashem. Chushyarki saved him from throwing that away and doing that because Chushyarki pointed out this deep point. Thank you, Chushyarki. But it's a point. It's to recognize the mile of David HaMelech's character, it's worthwhile to stop and appreciate that also, is think about what he was willing to sacrifice. His entire... Right, correct.
No, I understand, but shouldn't be good to teach by yourself and not do that? Like,
yeah, no, Eliezer, this is what you should do in your life. You should teach Klai Yisrael, not to jump to conclusions, and if they see things that don't seem just, they shouldn't do, then they should say everything is just. And you should... Yes, that's definitely something. And David HaMelech tried to teach that people that. You know, he wrote Sefer Tehillim. But there's just, you know, you have to be honest with the level of the people. It's not a simple thing to do.
Okay. That's not a circular thing? That they... Okay,
good.